Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
No, no, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am. Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Well, it's been a busy week.
It has, hasn't it?
Yeah, many things going on.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good. Good. It's better to have a lot of things going on than nothing.
I don't know about that.
Well, it depends. A lot of good things going on.
I think my highlighters are ruined.
Probably.
What am I going to do?
Dip in whiskey, remember? Put a little whiskey
that
in.
That was your first fix, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I did do that. I don't think the back of this is removable, though. I did do it. I could dip it in there, but I have to drink the whiskey.
You'd be all right. Whiskey kills anything, remember?
Yeah.
Kills any germs.
Including chemicals? I don't know about
that. Yeah, it's good. So the studio has been radically transformed. It looks really unbelievably awesome.
Thanks for helping, Dave.
I do what I can.
He helped earn the money to spend on this stuff.
I didn't even know it. Like, it's not that I didn't help. It's that I didn't even know it was being done.
It was like a late Christmas present.
But the downside is I can no longer in good conscience call this the Fight Club Studios.
Why? What do you call it?
Because it no longer looks like some place where Fight Club would happen.
Well, there's a gun and a punching bag and
it's too swank. It's like all swank.
Yeah, it's the Fight Club cigar bar now.
Yeah.
So I've turned it
in. Yeah. Tyler Durden wouldn't fight down here.
No. Oh, they would. They break shit.
Yeah, that's true. It'd be all busted up.
Yeah.
But it's glorious. Our whiskey wall is up. There's whiskey surrounding us. There's really cool Death Star lights. We'll post some pictures. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we thought you'd like that light.
It's pretty dope.
Yep.
We also predicted what you were gonna say.
Yep.
What?
Pretty fucking.
Except for when we messaged you. It was actually that one, yeah.
Yeah.
We sent you a message and we thought you were going to say fucking badass or fucking dope. And you were
said
like,
fucking badass.
No. First he said like cool or something like
that. No. That was to something else.
That was to this wall.
Yeah. No, that was to something else. You just read it because you don't read right. It was like
I don't read and
yeah, because what he said was on page 61 and you just
speaking of page 61, Nyoka Jameson, one of our fans, gave us one of the missing 411 books with the Pilates guy, because I know just to make that lady mad wherever you're at.
Right.
And she handmade a Gary Coleman book.
Oh, that's sweet.
And it's on page 60 with a little stab.
And that was already our plan.
A little stab at me, yeah.
So we do have new bookshelves. We're going to start collecting books. And they'll all have bookmarks at page 60.
Yeah, if you have a copy of the Quran, Mein Kampf, something cool like that you want to send to us.
Yeah. Or if you steal a Holy Bible from a hotel room.
Quantum physics. Let us know what's coming, though, so we can announce it and we don't get duplicates. Yeah, we'll put it up there. Write your name on the inside of the jacket. You can say something crude on the inside and sign it. Send it to us.
I also have to say that this week was literally shitty for me because my sewer pipe went south, which I've known was going to happen for a long time.
Is that slang? That's slang for something. Your sewer pipe went south?
Sewer pipe went south.
That's slang for anal. I'm almost certain.
It is now.
Yeah. But I've known for years that it was going to have to get replaced. It's like all of them in the neighborhood have been getting replaced. So it's like, but anyway, so I took a photo and posted it on Instagram. And I'm a little bit, I was kind of taken aback by the response because I got more likes on the picture of the shit tunnel leading out of my house than I have on anything in the history of Instagram. And I had a ton of people.
I can't escape the anal thing. So you're like, the whole neighborhood's getting to it. Everybody's walking funny. Right. You just said shit tunnel. Right. Like anal is not, I can't get out of the context of my head. So there's just jokes. So well, but everybody, out of my system.
All the comments tended to indicate that I was a serial killer, and they were all referencing to digging trenches in the front yard.
And your sewer was clogged up.
So a lot of them. So thanks to everyone who assumed I'm a serial killer. Rebecca 1983D, Holly Astral, a couple of other ones.
Astral.
It's Hori. It's Hori.
Rebecca D. Yeah. Max the D. Holly Astral. Hey,
it's not Holly Astral. It's Hori Asshole.
And then, Lady Boner Shit said that it was because of my quote, powerful vegan
you
poops.
Said Rebecca D. So that has to do with dicks. Holly Astral is like Astral Glide or ass, like ass trail.
We get it.
And then what was the last one you just said? Lady boner shit. Boner shit, anal. It's all about butts and dicks. I got bradyosis over here. All I can hear is butts and dicks. I've caught Brad's disease.
I don't know what's wrong with you.
I don't know. You're the one talking about jerking people off with your butt. So. How is it my disease?
So anyway.
That's an acquired skill.
Unlike where Brent's sewer brain is taking it, my trench was filled with pipe.
Please tell me I'm crazy right
all
now.
Week. So anyway, thanks to everyone who commented on it, but now I can give my powerful vegan poops without worrying about backing things up.
I'm just going to be quiet for a little while till that fades away. All right. Can't stop.
You don't have to tell a crazy man they're crazy. Yeah, they don't believe
right.
you.
Right. Yeah.
So, Patreon, thank you to our new Patreon supporters. Go to patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast to support us. This is our new venture. We've held off on it for a while because nobody really cared.
I don't think we were in a position to give back as part of the
plan. So, So, as always, we're going to shout out some new patron names. These are
we take a big interest in Patreon. So everyone who donates money to Patreon, we look into them. We do some cyber stalking. We look at their Facebook pages.
Or their
we look
home.
We look in their windows. We find out where they work. So we find out some stuff.
I've seen some shit you can't unsee.
Yeah, like, I bet.
I bet. It's bad out there.
So we like to share facts. So we'll give a couple.
Yep. So go ahead. Who's going to start? We'll just go in order. Go ahead, Brent. And then we'll play like a
game. Is that how the order starts?
That's it goes order. And then it goes to the left.
Yeah.
Okay. I talked to Cindy Johns. She actually called in to order something. And so I had an opportunity to physically talk with her. And she's a bar owner. She's an active bowler. But the fucking weird thing, I said, hey, I need like another hobby that's outside of something that your friends would know. And she said she saves her urine for the bad times ahead. And then I was like, just fucking weirded out. So
she's my fan. Definitely.
I didn't expand upon it because I didn't know what that meant.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. You never know.
What do you use urine for in the future?
I don't know, but if there's bad times ahead where you need urine, she's covered.
You can always throw it on somebody.
That it'll glow or something weird if you save pee in a jar for 6 months. Well, I heard that.
You better get to saving.
Yep.
I'm at month 5. I'll let you know. 15 days. The lights are going off.
5 hours, 24 seconds.
And then I talked to Mark Wiley, and he's actually a computer tech at Best Buy, which I used to be a computer tech at Best Buy. But he's also aspiring to be a cover girl for Maybelline, which threw me off a little bit because it's a dude.
We don't discriminate.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, that's good. You get it.
He's a good looking guy, though. It's that thing, like with some hair and some makeup.
Do it.
I'd do him.
So I looked into Samantha Misanovic. Apparently she's you see like in Santa Fe, like in Arizona and New Mexico, like you see those like New Mexico style painted rocks that people have.
Yeah.
Apparently that's what she does for a living. But she only does it with rocks that she finds in her pants.
Yeah.
How did they get there? That's weird.
That's the weird thing. That's why they're special.
It's like Shawshank Redemption.
Special.
It's not just that it's weird that she does that. It's that she has enough rocks. She finds enough rocks in her pants to like pay the rent.
Yeah.
Like
it's strange, but it's like,
she's a sleep rocker,
a sleep rock collector. Like,
maybe she's Asian and she's one a sleepwalker and we mistranslated that. And she's actually a sleep rocker.
Maybe so.
Yeah. But think how happy you'd be to be like, oh, look, another rock. I was running low on paintings.
Every morning when I wake up, there's a rock in my pants.
Yeah.
Well,
and you're pissed off.
Like a diamond. Yeah.
And the sewer runs south.
Mm-hmm. It
see where this show's pipe. Going.
So, and then the other one that I looked up is a cat named Sean Bupree. And apparently he spent like his entire youth training, like in the same thing that his mother trained in, rigorous training, like every single day, day in, day out, his entire childhood and his entire young adulthood to follow in his mother's footsteps, which was to become a vampire hunter.
That's a thing?
Well, no. And that's the problem because his mom has there's no vampires. Right. She's never hunted a vampire. His mom lives in her mom's basement because she can't get work. And Sean Bupree lives in the sub-basement of her mom's basement under her mom's basement because they have a long line of
vampires. It turns out the house above the basement belonged to their grandma and she was the baddest vampire hunter ever. And exactly. That's why there's no vampires.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think that might be it.
What about when he has kids though? Like it's like, is there another
I guess they're going to have to dig another level or he should advise
they're
the
just going to have shitty Halloween parties.
To do something.
Yep. They just have a haunted house. Yep. Yeah, they'll open up and use the double basement for a haunted house.
That's crazy. Well, I have here Dallas Patterson, and I spoke to him on the phone. He called me on my personal line. That's how close we are.
Nice.
You so know, close your balls like, hey. Yeah, I was like, hey, what's up, Dallas? Because I know his name. And yeah, I don't know. He has a really weird job. No, I don't really know him. I social stalked him. He searches for obscure dried body parts for his father's oddity store in Broken Arrow, Nebraska. Hmm. So
that was specific.
I don't know. I guess it's like dried skin and like just whatever. Not the stuff in jars that's wet.
It intrigued me jerky. Because it's Is the fact that it's obscure dried body parts indicating that all dried body parts are obscure, or is he only looking for obscure parts of the body?
That's
that
the shit
dry?
No one else wants, elbow skin.
Macaroni elbow skin. I think it's like, it's hard to find dried body parts. Everybody always puts them in jars and they're swollen.
I got it.
You know, tried to keep it as good as possible, but they want the decayed stuff.
Macaroni elbow skin is my favorite blues man from back in the 1930s.
It's a badass blues man.
That boy plays a bucket like nobody's business.
Also, James Mosca. He apparently is a remote control airplane pilot for the Fort Worth Militia. So they need drones too.
That's where they do fly stuff because Mosca means fly in Spanish.
That might be destiny.
Why I know that, I don't know. I know Spanish.
I have no idea. Leche, milk.
There you go.
Yeah, mama.
What the fuck?
Mama? Milk.
That was like a JFK Lord of the
Rings. So one last order of business is we have our El Yucateco giveaway.
Yep, sauce bag winner.
Yep.
You get the sauce bag.
Sauce bag. It just became named sauce bag. Or the sauce sack.
Oh, yeah. You can do that. I like sauce bag better.
Hot sack. How about the hot sack? Hot sack winner of the week.
Hot sack. Yeah.
So who is it, Brad? Tell us more.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's on you, sir. Hot sauce.
Hot sauce. Let's see. It is. Drum roll, please. Leanne Nicole. Thank you for your comment. We saw that you really loved chimichangas with your black or black chimichangas as we took it. So
in your mouth.
Yeah. So she likes a big black chimichanga.
But she does like mixing the black with the red and puts them on her eggs, whatever that means.
With the green as well.
With the green. Yeah. I was being green racist.
Trifecta.
Yep.
I'm going to mix that up a little bit.
Yeah. She said she's mad. She thinks the only thing they got wrong is when they said it's not sexy and has no cult following. So apparently, black chimichangas have a cult following. Or is it? Oh, El Yucateco.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm reading this all wrong.
Right. Because it was in reply to an article about the best hot sauces. And the article
I didn't
said
even see that. Did we post that?
Yeah. The article said it ranked El Yucateco as number one, correct?
Yeah. And it said it may not be sexy or have a cult following.
But she's saying it is sexy.
Oh, got it. Okay. Well, thank you, Leanne, for commenting. We appreciate it. And thank you to everybody else who commented. Also, there was a ton of comments on there, shares, likes. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate all of it. But if the rest of you put big black things in your mouth, you might have won.
Yeah. Yep. Not everybody can win the hot sack.
Yep. If you want the sauce bag, if you want the sauce bag, you got to have a good comment. Yeah, so true. I think we might have opened up. this is going to be bad.
A sack of heat. We opened up a real sack of heat on that one.
Man.
All right. We should get to the topic. Yeah.
So our topic today is...
Black chimichangas.
Roughly. Martin Luther King Jr. Black History Month is coming up, and we just hit MLK Jr. Day, and we wanted to do an episode on Martin Luther King because he's quite an interesting guy, and he's one of those figures that I don't know if a lot of people... I mean, they know he was civil rights. They know that, et cetera, yeah. But I don't know.
He had a dream.
Yeah, they knew he had a dream. Yeah, about a little white girl and a little black boy.
It was actually about a white chimichanga and a black chimichanga.
That's true.
That were playing in the street together. That was his dream. We wanted to cover it and go into it because he's got some interesting stuff. And we get a lot of comments from people on our social medias that say that they learned a bunch of stuff about people that they never knew before and they didn't get in school. So hopefully we'll cover some stuff about MLK that nobody broke off to you in school. And hopefully we won't get any one star belly snitches by getting history.
Just get the dates right. That's how we got to do.
Yeah. I can't remember if it was me or my brother, but when I was little, we got the day off for school. And my mom asked one of us why we had the day off. And we said it was like King Luther's birthday. So we thought it was a king. And then said, oh, what happened? Oh, it's a man. Somebody shot the man. Someone shot him and he died. And I think maybe a dinosaur ate him or something to that effect. And my mom said, no, he was alive when I was little. And we said, oh, did cowboys shoot him?
Oh,
because I was like five.
Diss on your mom.
Yeah. It was either dinosaur.
No wonder she hates you. Yeah, she's always mad at you now. That's funny. My youngest daughter actually drew a picture. I think it was a year or two ago of Martin Luther King, and they had to like cut out the little black head and the mustache and everything that went on it. And it was great. Like it was the best picture I've ever seen. It looked like a caricature that she drew.
Oh, really?
But I think it might've been when she was in kindergarten. So yeah, it was a couple of years ago. It was so funny. I have that picture in my head. It's awesome.
And he's got a fucking fabulous mustache.
Yes.
Like that MLK mustache. Yeah. Like
which is, it's weird because the Geraldo mustache has started wars, it's done revolutions, and then it tried to do civil rights.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Like, so it's I'm thinking it might be warring mustaches.
It might be.
Like there might be the good mustache and the evil mustache.
It has split personalities and it just doesn't know what's going on or it's upset. It
could be.
Yeah.
So MLK was actually, which I thought was weird, his father, he was born January 15th, 1920. 29, Atlanta, Georgia. He's a Southern boy. He's from the dirty. His father was Michael King Sr.
His name was actually that as well. They both changed their name after.
Yeah,
that
that's
trip, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they, he, so his father. Yeah. What did you
they went to
that?
Germany, to attend the World Alliance Congress or something, the Baptist World Alliance Congress in Berlin. And upon returning from that trip, he changed his name and his son's name to Martin Luther King Jr.
Right.
Martin Luther Sova King Jr. And it was in honor of a former, of a German reformer.
Yeah.
So I didn't have time to look up the German reformer, though.
Well, Martin.
So you're saying they're Nazis. What you're saying?
They're black Nazis.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
So, well, Martin Luther was the guy.
They're blind black people. You didn't mean Nazis. You just meant the Nazis.
He nailed the things to the church door in protest, et cetera.
Oh, I don't know about that. Oh, okay. No.
But that's what.
I went to school in Oil Dome.
And I've always been like, okay, Martin Luther King Jr. And like, I always thought, because I knew about Martin Luther before I knew about Martin Luther King. And
right.
I always thought, wow, what a coincidence. But when I studied this week, I was like, oh, it's not a fucking coincidence. He changed his name to Martin Luther. It was Michael King.
Yeah, I went to a Bakersfield racist middle school and they didn't even, it wasn't even the book. Those pages were torn out, man.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what
the pocket knife. You could tell.
He had white history.
Well, they shouldn't have cut out white Martin Luther. They should have just cut out black Martin.
They wanted the memory erased.
They wanted all Martin Luther.
They didn't want you to stumble upon the black Martin Luther.
By accident.
Yeah.
By accident.
It'd just be all bad.
So, Martin Luther King Sr. fought against racial prejudice, which obviously was something that his son did as well. But the whole thing was he thought it wasn't even just because he was black. He honestly believed, and he wanted his congregation to believe, that it was against God's will to discriminate against anyone.
Yeah, he said, like, he would witness his dad, like, one time a police officer referred to him as boy or something in a traffic stop, and he like wouldn't respond to the officer until he addressed him properly. One time they went to a store, and the store owner asked his son to like wait in the back of the line until the white customers were done. And so he just grabbed his hand, and they left the store and went and shopped there. So even before all, you know, that's when Junior was a kid.
Yeah. He saw his dad. Was not safe to be black.
That was like in the heart bold of not shit. Safe to be black.
You do that shit, you're getting lynched. And he was just fucking strutting like that.
Yeah, and you're getting fucking arrested by the cop. And especially because this is in Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah,
and you kind of see that in movies now, like, and they portray those times. Like, you'd be like, hey, boy, and the guy's sitting there and he won't look at him, you know, and then the cop starts getting pissed, you know.
Right.
And then bad things happen.
Yes, inevitably.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty brave. Like, that's, you know, they really pushed for it and wanted it, and they fought for what they believed in. Right, and that's all you can, you know, you have to give them credit.
And so the father, Michael King, a.k.a. Martin Luther King Sr., instilled these beliefs to Martin Luther King Jr. And in one thing I read, and this was kind of a trip, in May of 1941, when MLK was 12, his grandmother, Jenny, died of a heart attack, and apparently it was super traumatic. Did you read about this?
Oh, yeah. And he jumped out of the second story of the building because he blamed himself for her death.
Yeah. And he was super traumatized. She had a heart attack when he was out watching a parade that his parents like told him he couldn't watch. So he wasn't there when she died and they couldn't find him, and because he was out having fun and watching a parade. And then when he got home, he found out that his grandmother died, and he jumped out a window. And I don't know if he was just like traumatized or actually consciously trying to kill himself.
I'm Dave. I have to say, I am kind of afraid too. I'm afraid Brent's going to die of a heart attack. Also a heart attack.
I'm fucking so pissed.
I get so angry
when I'm rock hard.
Yeah, I can just like have a stroke or something.
He might.
It's a lot of blood flow. I'll say that. His dad, it's like anyone of a notable, like, accomplishment in the world has something very traumatic in their childhood. You know what I mean? Whether it be they turn to be a serial killer or a person of greatness, there's trauma, like trying to commit suicide when you're 12 and jumping out of a window.
Right.
Or your dad beating you.
I don't think he was trying to commit suicide. I think he was trying to leave to go find his grandma.
He had a dream he could fly, and it didn't work out, and he jumped.
He had wings.
He believed he could touch the sky.
He could touch the sky,
But, and again, like a lot of the people that we profile, when we look at people, super intelligent, right?
Are we profilers now? Like, is this
what we kind of are? Yeah. Okay. Well, they all fit. Well, again, he could have become a great dictator. He could have become a great cult leader. He could have been a great serial killer. He just became a civil rights leader instead. Right. He skipped both the 9th and 11th grade because he was too smart. And he entered Morehouse College when he was 15 years old. He started college.
Yeah, they were trying to get people to sign up because there was lack of attendance because of the war. And they said any person that could pass the entry exam, regardless of age, if they're in high school, if they could pass that exam, they would accept him into college. So he went to college at 15. Right?
That's crazy. Yeah, 15.
They skipped two grades. Yeah. So he went to college at 15.
He went to college at 15.
And then he graduated, I think, at 18 or 19 from college with a bachelor's.
Well, I mean, he got his bachelor's degree, went to seminary school to become a pastor, and got his PhD by the time he was 25.
Yeah. So he
went through three levels of schooling by the age of 25.
Yeah, he graduated in 1948 with a bachelor's degree and graduated with that PhD in 51. So, yeah. And then 3 years later, he got his PhD in 3 years. Is that normal? Three?
It depends on what he probably went for religious studies too.
He did,
so he could get, theology. It depends. He's not going to be a doctor.
That's not a real PhD. I'm just kidding. I'm being an asshole.
No, it's about three. It's probably 3 years. No, I take that back. It's usually more than that. It's usually
well, four. It's like four to get your master's and then two or three to get PhD.
Usually two to get the course. Today it's two to do the coursework of your master's, and then you have to take some sort of a test, and then it's usually 2 years of schooling to get to your PhD, but then you have to write a dissertation, which takes some people never. Years. And some people a year or two.
That's true.
So four years is the typical schooling plus testing. So, but I don't know if it might've been different back in the day, but he still got through it all pretty quick. And I even read that he was really, the first couple of years he was in college, he was really unmotivated. He was just kind of like a player, and he was a hit with the ladies, and he was like bored by his classes because he wasn't intellectually stimulated. So he didn't really get into his classes very much until his junior year when things started to get more difficult and it engaged him more.
Yeah. I often wonder how, like, we've uncovered different things on different stories about how people's early lives are kind of not really what it's said they are. If his is kind of that same way, you know, like you hear about this great, you know, civil rights leader, right, and he did all these things and he was just so smart and all this stuff. But really there's a bunch of contradicting things,
right,
you know, saying that, nah, yeah, he was smart, but really, you know, he didn't really care.
And, but here's some other things that really don't fit the profile you would think from young Martin Luther King Jr. He was sort of uncomfortable. Like a lot of people write about this who knew him, that when he was young, he didn't, like all through college, he questioned religion often, and he didn't like, he was uncomfortable with like big displays of religion in public. Yeah. That wasn't something he was comfortable with.
Yeah, it said at age 13, he denied the bodily resurrection of Jesus and became skeptical of Christianity, but that he said that the Bible had many, quote, many profound truths which one cannot escape. And he decided to continue with his religious studies. At age 13, though, he was already having doubts about it.
Right.
And then he pushes all the way through like 1920 and finishes a PhD.
Right.
Yeah, in theology. So.
And even then, like, he was known, like, he rebelled against his father's like conservative teachings when he was in college. He apparently drank a lot of beer. He played pool all the time. And apparently,
this
would have been a big mega scandal back in the day. He apparently dated the white women.
Ooh. The cook's daughter. Yeah. So much so that he actually fell in love with the cook's daughter. And they had been going together for like 6 months. And there was an open discussion, like, with her parents. Like, they wanted to get married. But he was worried about it would break his mom's heart, apparently, and it would damage his chances of ever becoming a pastor. Yeah. Well, there was a lot of resentment even early on in his age because of the way his family was treated.
Oh, for sure.
You know, back of the bus, not that drinking fountain, well, user's bathroom, you go to that school.
Yeah. And two, like, you know, you're, as a parent, your son's wanting to make their life harder.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it would have became even harder for him to just be black. Now he has a white wife, and that would have been insane.
Yeah. I mean, because my parents went through that in a similar time frame, and they had horror stories of living in white neighborhoods and black neighborhoods.
Yeah.
They
either
weren't welcome in either neighborhood.
Yeah, like, yeah, they both ultimately decided that in a different time, in a different place, it would have worked and that they loved each other. But based off of it's the family, the things, his wanting to be a pastor, that they broke off the relationship, but it said that he never really recovered from it. Like, she always had a place in his heart. He couldn't forget it.
Yeah.
So, but he did move on to get married and have
that,
kids.
I wonder if that was one of his driving things, like, that
he was trying to get it to be okay to safe to be black people so he could be with a white girl.
Yeah
And he did he did usher in safe to be black people times. Like, he was very
I'm sure he got that white booty.
I'm sure he did, with that mustache like that. Come on
And that black chimichanga,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. So at one point he became sort of the, I don't know, his mentor was the president of Morehouse College because he did so well eventually in school, a guy named Benjamin E. Mays. And he was a very religious man. And apparently Mays is the one who convinced him to start looking at religion again, to start getting back into Bible study. So his influence in college ultimately, and again, this says so much about his intellect. You don't go to a college and happen to be kicking it with the president.
Yeah.
Like, he had to have been so stellar that the president took notice of him.
He's a really charming and well-spoken guy.
Absolutely.
Which is another one of those checkboxes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
The Jedi mind trick. I have to correct myself. He didn't get his PhD till 1955 before someone fucking gets me on that.
Okay.
I don't know. The other thing was, graduated with a B division degree in 51 after getting a bachelor's in 48. So I don't know. I was confused.
Things have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter anymore.
But I think because he went to Crozer Theological Seminary in Pennsylvania and he did that in 51.
Yeah. So, but he finally got his PhD from Boston University.
In 55. Yeah. And when he was, and again, the president from Morehouse College, Mays, was a huge advocate for racial equality, that whole thing. And he wanted to encourage King to like use his spirituality, his influence in his father's church, all that kind of stuff to make social change, to try to push for equity. Cause, you know, at the time, everybody was basically thinking if a change is going to come in the black community, it's probably going to come from the church because that's the center of all the black communities back then was a strong church. So if there was some place where the changes were going to happen, that was probably going to be
start there. That's where the majority of the people listen.
Was his rhythm of speech, like that speech delivery that's like very unique to him? Like you can hear it like echo in your head.
Uh-huh.
Was that him? Is that influenced from like the black church? I mean, you always see those over
preaching.
The top.
Yeah.
Like, ha! You know, that shit, but he didn't do that.
I mean, I've listened.
I like the bobble you did.
Yeah, that was good.
You got to see the rest of it. When that camera comes in, I'm in trouble.
From stuff that I've studied, because we did, like I've taken some classes studying rhetoric and studying the way that you deliver speeches and so forth. And we looked a lot at his speeches and we looked at other like, black leaders who were giving speeches in the day, and they didn't really sound like he sounded.
Right.
Like he really just, he had his own delivery. He had his own.
So he is the influence for that style.
The other thing too, like his speech, you know, the I Have a Dream speech, it's one of the greatest, labeled one of the greatest speeches of all times.
Absolutely.
And with all these other speeches, it's not that crazy of a speech. You know, it's more the delivery.
Yes. He walked up though. Yeah. They said he would walk up there with nothing, no notes. Like he would just walk up and
Well, it's because
it.
He was a rapper.
Yeah.
Like
he just was he in was his spitting. Head already. Yeah.
He was spitting.
Yeah. Gift rapper at Sears during the holiday season.
Yeah.
That was one of his first jobs.
Slick on those corners, man.
And again, he was so smart. He got accepted into doctoral study at Yale. All these different places wanted him. And he ended up going to Boston University. That's where he got his PhD. And that's where he met his wife, Coretta Scott, who became Coretta Scott King. They got married in 53. They ended up having several children. And in 54, shortly after he got married, he ended up becoming the head pastor of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. And that was sort of his first posting as a pastor someplace. And it ended up really that posting sort of changes history because he happened to get a job in Montgomery, Alabama.
Right.
Because of what comes up next. So a lot of people know about the Montgomery bus boycott somewhat. I mean, everybody at least knows
Rosa Parks.
She refused to sit in the back of the bus. She was tired. She was on her way home from work. The bus driver insisted she move to the back and stand so that some white people could sit, and she was too tired and she said no. I mean, that's like the basic story that most people know. There's actually, which I didn't know, that was round two. Like Rosa Parks was round two. Round one was Rosa Parks. That was in December. Yeah. December of 1955 is when Rosa Parks did that. Mm-hmm. But in March of 1955, a 15-year-old pregnant black girl refused to give up her seat. And her name was Claudette Colvin. And they rallied, you know, the NAACP and the black churches rallied to her cause. And this is what got them thinking about the fact that we could use this bus thing to start changing, you know, minds and start breaking down laws. But apparently they abandoned it because the fact that she was pregnant, they thought that it would be a scandal. Everybody wouldn't look at the fact that a black person refused to move. They would be looking at the fact
unmarried,
that there's an unmarried 15-year-old black girl, and this that would have stolen the focus. So they didn't move on her, and they were waiting for someone else to refuse to go to the back of the bus, and that became Rosa.
Yeah, they said it was actually
just one of them doing it. Like
it was planned by Nixon. So who knows? That could have been a plant. I don't know. But it said that the Montgomery bus boycott was actually planned by Nixon and led by King. So I don't know.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's what it says. It says urged and planned by Nixon, led by King. The boycott lasted for 385 days.
Yeah, lasted 300. There's a great HBO did a movie called Boycott. If you're interested in this subject matter at all, I highly recommend you watch it.
That'd be a cool conspiracy theory that Rosa Parks was a plant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It looks, it kind of looks that way. Like
they didn't run with the first one.
They didn't run with the first. Yeah. When I read that, I was like, huh? So this shit was
Nixon.
It really kind of looks like it. Yeah. Yeah. I think once they saw the first one though, they probably were like, oh, that's a good idea. And so they set up the run.
Right. They're like, we need to do this again.
Yeah. We're going to use Rosa Parks, though.
So apparently, and even getting Martin Luther King was kind of a weird choice because he was the newest pastor in a small church in Montgomery, but they basically picked him because he was the new guy.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't going to be embroiled in any black politics. He didn't have any strong allies or strong enemies within the community.
Yeah.
He was just this fresh face, just out of school, new guy.
Had a sweet
and
mustache.
They were like, let's fuck the new guy over and make him deal with all this stuff. And they gave Martin Luther King, they made him the mouthpiece, and he did it. And you look back at it and it doesn't seem like much, but again, if you watch that movie Boycott, it's like this was some sketchy shit to be doing.
They bombed his house.
Yeah, they bombed his fucking house. Like his I mean just imagine going up against all societal norms. Like his
it was
wife,
a bottle of moonshine with a stick of dynamite for sure though. It's like, yeah,
but
man,
it's like I mean your wife is getting threatened, your newborn children are getting threatened, and like you don't but you're getting like people are trying to bribe you.
Mississippi
give you
burning
shit to back down.
Real.
People are trying to kill you. People.
That's when they drug motherfuckers behind their truck with chains and shit.
And you're just like, fuck all y'all, I'm doing this. Like it was, it took, I can't imagine the dedication to the cause that it took to not just be like, fuck it, I'm backing down. Let some other guy do this.
Yeah, but you know, when you have all the famous pictures of him, you look and you kind of look in the background. There's always a small figure there. There's always somebody watching over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the protection was there.
Maybe
I think he had protection.
Heads.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, here's the thing. It's a different Nixon.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what it is. It's a guy named E.D. Nixon who was the head of the local NAACP.
That's Ed Nixon.
You got to be real fucking like, when you're talking about Nixon, that's
yeah,
like
you
Prince.
Should be
you
a
can't
little
be like, oh, the other Prince. Yeah. Oh, no, it's like Madonna and Prince. No, no,
no.
In
the same era. Yeah,
it's Johnny like, Prince.
So no, a guy named Nixon was the head of the local NAACP, and he's the one who was trying to set up the second one, and he was sort of the one who manipulated.
I still call it conspiracy, man.
He was the one who manipulated King into it and all that kind of stuff. But so King ends up doing it. 380 something days of just harassment, violence, intimidation. And the thing is, like, it's not just like a couple people refused to ride the bus. Like the entire black community refused to take the bus. And it took, I mean, churches were having to organize, like, people, like, black people with cars would be picking people up and driving them to work all day long and getting money from the church to pay for gas. People were volunteering to leave their home 2 hours early to walk to work instead of taking the bus in the cold, in the heat, like, the entire, and every, like, if one of them broke the line and got on the bus, it wouldn't have done it. But somehow, King was able to keep giving speeches at churches to keep motivating people for over a year to not be able to use any kind of automotive to the entire community. Like I can't picture.
He's just a different kind of person. He actually said that he had an inner urge to serve humanity. And I think that he once said that his greatest obstacle or stumbling block was the white moderates. Like it wasn't all that other adversity.
Wasn't the radicals.
And came, Adam, it was the lack of motivation, the lack of movement and activism in people that didn't want to inconvenience themselves. Like, oh, this just isn't quite the time. Like, I'd rather have, they would rather have negative peace, you know, let bad things happen as long as everything was civil, than have, you know, the right thing happen, but have to fight for it. Shake it up.
Yeah, they'd have
you know,
to
they didn't want
it.
To deal with that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I can kind of see it because it's like, I mean,
it's passive aggressiveness. Like,
I mean,
they agreed with him, but they didn't want to go through the motions. Like they said, like, we agree with your thoughts. They just didn't want the road that he was taking to get there. Even though he was nonviolent,
people
just didn't want to shake that shit up.
But I mean, I think about like modern day, it's like, if you talk to somebody about fucking sweatshop labor in a third world country and it's like, what do you think about it? People are like, no, it's fucking horrible. And they're like, well, what are you willing to do to change it? And it's like, absolutely nothing.
I have to tell you.
Like, yes. Do I agree that it's horrible? 100%. Am I willing to start paying more money for a t-shirt at Walmart? No. Fuck that.
We gotta get this off our chest, Dave.
Yeah.
Brad and I
we felt bad
something.
About it. But we did it anyway.
We used child labor to stain these shelves back
here. We did.
We used all our kids stained all these shelves right here. Yeah. I have pictures of it.
Did you pay him?
No.
No, that's
hell no.
They got that's a fun. Fucking house, food. Right? Yeah. Macaroni exactly. and cheese. No, that's fine. Corn dogs.
That's fine.
Like yeah.
Pop ramen, okay, man.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah, if you pulled poor people out of the ghetto and like
pulled
made them do
poor
it for
people sandwiches, made,
did pulled, it poor, pulled poor people sandwiches. You said it before I could say it. That was so good. That made me hungry. I mean,
child labor and poor people sandwiches.
Love me some
pulled poor people sandwiches. So good.
Oh, Tyler Mott, I can't wait.
So the boycott ends up going remarkably well. Even the bus companies are like, they're fucking losing their ass because no one's riding the buses anymore. So, but, struggles to the whole thing. Again, that movie really shows a different perspective on it. I highly recommend it. But at the end of that, when they win the bus boycott, which got a lot of national press, suddenly, Martin Luther King's name is known. He's not just,
he was arrested during the process of
he was arrested constantly.
I think he was arrested 29 times.
Like he was arrested endless.
In total.
But everybody would be. They would like, and even if you were like, if the cops saw a black guy giving six black people a ride, they would try to pull him over.
It's a good thing we don't do that shit anymore.
Yeah, that's a good thing we stopped that.
Oh, but good job, Martin Luther King. Come so far since then.
So the next big thing that he did was in January of 1957, he and Ralph Abernathy and 60 other ministers and civil rights activists founded the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in order to get all of the South unified. So the idea was they looked at what happened in Montgomery and they thought if we can unify as one group, then we can really start to make some changes everywhere. And a lot of this, you know, it starts to come from this whole nonviolent thing that King starts voicing, and they start to really think that we need to get more voting. So one of their biggest pushes is to get people out to vote, to get blacks to go vote, to because again they were being intimidated, don't go to the voting place, etc. So they were really trying to encourage everyone all through the South to go and vote for things because then they could start making massive changes. You know,
Speeches too that were like kind of admitted that he said like obviously like emotionally a violent protest is in his heart sort of type thing is what I translated from it. But he's just smart. He knows that you're not going to win that. That's not going to work out.
Like you just said, go to jail.
Yeah. He knows that throwing bricks at a guy with a machine gun, I think he was quoted to say, is just foolishness. You know what I mean? Because he said they have neither the tools nor the means to have a positive outcome using that method.
From doing that.
He wasn't necessarily against it. It just, they didn't have the tools or the means for that to work. That's not going to work.
Right.
So this is our best chance. Yeah, strategy. Exactly.
And he had traveled to India. He went to Gandhi's birthplace and he saw what Gandhi did in his nonviolent protests and how he's, you know, completely changed all of India. And then that was one of the reasons that he started thinking about it. And there was a guy named Bayard Rustin who studied Gandhi and all this stuff, and he was one of King's associates, and he ended up starting to get the nonviolence things to go on. And even the nonviolence thing, it's unbelievable that this is the way it turned out, because when blacks are being lynched and they're being killed in the streets and they have no rights,
it's the turn the other cheek thing.
Exactly. You know, but like, it's like to make, to change the nation completely nonviolently, especially when you've got groups like the Black Panthers.
I think that is the smart way to go about it though, because if you started fighting back and started killing white people, then white people would be afraid of black people even more.
Right.
You know, that shit doesn't happen anymore.
As opposed to, well, I think it's all evened out now.
Brad sees his arm and gets scared sometimes.
I punch myself in the face.
Babies.
But the thing is,
I killed my black grandparents.
Yeah. Good call.
I couldn't help it.
You had the Black Panthers, you had the early Nation of Islam, Malcolm X, all these people who were like openly advocating violence. I mean, they were bombing places and they were getting machine guns and they were,
their shit didn't work like, though. Like
but
this.
No, it wasn't really work. But I mean, even within the black community, he wasn't necessarily the only voice. There were voices saying, fuck this pacifism. We need a violent revolution.
Yeah. His, response and retort to Malcolm X was, if we practiced an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, we would be a nation of blind, toothless fools or something to that effect.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's not going to work.
Which is true. I mean,
it's like operations in Iraq and shit. You go shooting up somebody's house and kill their uncle.
They're not happy about you being there.
You don't get over that shit. No. You know what I mean? So everyone, it's just going to be the feuding fucking hillbillies.
The Hatfields and the McCoys.
That shit's going to keep going.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just never going to end. And he was the one who saw that, and he had enough of a national presence after the bus boycotts, after the Southern Leadership Conference. He starts to have a big enough voice that he can start to convince not just one city to not ride a bus and be nonviolent, but he can start to convince everyone. Yeah.
They actually try to convince Kennedy to invoke what would be like a second Emancipation Proclamation. Like, him and the Gandhi Society produced some type of document that was presented to the president to try to do that. They were not successful, obviously, but they wanted him to follow, and this is going to make Brad really mad, in Abraham Lincoln's footsteps for a type of second Emancipation Proclamation.
Mm-hmm. Piece of shit. Yeah.
So Brad hates Abraham Lincoln.
He does
more than I hate being hard, which happens a lot.
So he starts to organize a lot of sit-ins, right? There ends up being, in February of 1960, a bunch of African-American students refuse to leave a lunch counter in Greensboro, North Carolina. And they sit, they try to segregate this lunch counter. And there's a, big uproar about it. But Martin Luther King starts advocating that everyone starts doing this and start having sit-ins and start going places you're not allowed and just lock arms and don't move and don't do anything and don't fight back. And I can't imagine someone convincing me not to fight back. When I'm hitting you with a fire hose and there's an attack dog chewing on your leg and you're getting beaten by a fucking cop with a club, lay there.
Some of that footage, the fire hose, hit those fools in the head with a fire head. They would do like a backflip, like a kung fu movie.
Yeah,
that fire hose is no joke. You think they just spray water.
Well, they still use that today. No, it's high pressure. Yeah, fucking knock you out.
And to just hose. Not
they were doing
anything.
That the pipeline thing in the fucking sub-zero degrees.
Yeah,
but blowing them down.
He convinced everyone to do it, and actually, I'll try to remember to post it as my Instagram picture for this episode, but my father, aka Fuzzy, did sit-ins and met Martin Luther
King. Oh, you have a picture of him,
yeah,
right?
I have a picture of my dad who has like a Hitler mustache.
Speaking of pictures, that picture you and your little on Facebook is fucking sick.
Oh, thank you. But
I just wanted to pinch your cheeks, kiss you right on the mouth.
But my dad was more on the Black Panther side of like violent protest, but he met Martin Luther King and did some sit-ins and stuff like that. But I just can't get my head around that era. I can't get my head around not safe for Black people times.
Yeah.
Like it's fucking crazy. So his big thing was in 1960, he ended up taking over his father's church, Ebenezer Baptist Church. Great name, by the way, in Atlanta. And, he ends up organizing first there was Birmingham. I take that back. I'm jumping ahead. So he ends up organizing demonstrations in downtown Birmingham, entire Alabama. And it's one of the horrible demonstrations. When you see a lot of photos and footage of blacks getting, attacked by dogs and all that stuff, a lot of it happened in Birmingham. And he gets arrested.
What year is that?
This is in 63.
Because we skipped. Did you...
Albany.
Stabbed by the crazy woman at the book signing?
Knock that out. I didn't see that.
Yeah. September of 1958, he was signing copies of his book, Strive Toward Freedom. And a crazy woman came and stabbed him with a letter opener. And like he almost died. Like he was hospitalized for several weeks and had to have emergency surgery because she stabbed him. Like, what was her deal? She was she stabbed him. Letter.
She's white.
She thought he had something to do, that he was conspiring against her. There was like a communist connection, probably another conspiracy. Back in the day, that's what they did. Everybody's a communist.
So,
but it's her motivation. It was a black woman too that stabbed him, but her motivation said he had something to do with communism, I guess. But yeah, he was emergency surgery, hospitalized for several weeks, but he lived. So
that's crazy.
And something that can't be skipped. That was notable for sure.
Yeah, that is notable, especially because it was a black person.
I had stabbed by a crazy woman written in notes. I was
when he got arrested in Albany in 1961 also. You missed that one once.
Oh, yeah, I did. No, he got arrested in Albany. Was that the... He also got arrested in Atlanta.
Yeah.
He got arrested 29 times.
Yeah, so he got arrested all over.
Each movement, the Albany movement, he got arrested. And then Birmingham, I think same thing.
One time on a bowel movement. That one was embarrassing.
Bowel movement, yeah. Bowel movement, Alabama.
The reason that Birmingham stands out.
Bowel movement of Alabama. Was Alabama Black Snake. Yeah.
He had too many pulled poor people sandwiches.
Yeah, too many poor people sandwiches.
You know, clogged up the toilet.
Those get to you. Yeah.
He laid some pipe in that trench. Yeah. Just
fucking destroyed that trench.
So he's going to multiple cities, causing ruckuses everywhere, getting arrested everywhere. Like this is what he's doing.
The word ruckus.
Thank you. Yeah.
In Birmingham, it becomes more notable because a lot of his supporters
died.
But a lot of black leaders at the time were starting to criticize Martin Luther King because he was encouraging entire families to show up. So children were getting brutalized by the cops, and they were blaming Martin Luther King for that.
Not the cops that were brutalizing children.
Yeah. Not the cops. Yeah.
Not the cops hitting him with the bobby stick.
So he started. Well, I guess
if you know it's danger, that's a controversial thing.
Yeah, but still, how fucked up. You're a cop. You're a white cop. Just because you don't like black people, are you beating the children?
Oh, I agree.
Like,
but if you know that the cops are willing to beat you, you might not want to put your kids in front of them.
Yeah, you might tell them to stay home today.
A fine line.
And he also wrote the very famous letter from a Birmingham jail while he's in jail here. The letter from a Birmingham jail kind of gets mixed in with his speeches, but again, it wasn't a speech. It was a written thing. And it's such a good piece. It's so moving that in a lot of literature anthologies I teach that just have all, you know, the greatest literature of all time, they'll put this letter in with, you know, poetry and with Shakespeare and all that kind of stuff, just because it's so incredibly well crafted. And again, he wrote that sitting in fucking jail, we're like, oh, he went to jail. Every single time he went to jail, he could have been killed by a cop. He could have never gotten out. He could, like, we look back.
Or white people in jail.
I
was thinking about how, like, if I had gone to jail once before, it's like when you fill out a job application or something. Have you ever been to jail? You're like, yeah, I did go to jail once. 29 times. Yeah, like, it didn't matter. Cause like at that point it was like to anyone else who was just a black man. Like, where's other opportunities? It wasn't messing up his resume.
Right. No, I'm still a pastor. But I mean, every one of those 29 times could have meant him never getting out of jail, him getting killed, him, whatever, and he never fucking stopped.
He would choose jail over some silly shit like that. Be like, oh, it's a $78 fine, or you can stay home. In jail for fucking like 45 days.
Go to jail.
Just
fuck
to make
you.
The point. Yeah. Because fuck you.
Fucking freeloading black guy.
I mean, yeah. See what I mean?
He just wanted the meals.
He just wanted, all he wanted was government cheese.
Did you see that he was caught plagiarizing in his dissertation? Didgeridoo?
Plagiarizing? No.
Dissertation. In 91, they did an investigation back into his dissertation or something. And there was plagiarism and like whole
passages.
That's
how he was good in school.
Yeah, that's why. Now I wonder about
plagiarist. God damn it.
Not to take anything away. That was the only thing they found.
Martin Luther King.
But they didn't, there was like a whole fight to not let it affect his PhD. To this day, there just is a letter attached noting that some passages were incorrectly cited or quoted.
They weren't cited.
They weren't properly cited or quoted.
And they did this in 99.
Maybe he was just bad at English.
So he was good and dead by then. So who gives a shit? Like, I won, you lost.
Yeah, in October of 1991.
Let's deface Martin Luther King. How about that?
Bastards. It was white guys for sure that did that shit.
Yeah.
Probably a bunch of English professors sat around in a room.
Yeah, David.
It's the nature of modern academics. Yeah. Someone was like,
I know that.
I'll do my dissertation on whether or not Martin Luther King plagiarized.
Or they were reading it and they were like, that sounds familiar.
That sounds like that other guy. Yeah. So the big thing that he did, and it's what really put him on the top of the game, was in August 28th, 1963. He drew a march on Washington. It got 200,000 people to show up at the Lincoln Memorial. And I can't imagine how scared Washington, D.C. have been when 200,000 pissed off black people show up at the Capitol. And it's like that could have gone any way.
Yeah, they could have stole the furniture.
Like,
that's a bunch of angry black cats.
They could have. It is. They could have run out with the Constitution, wiped their ass with it. Like, you couldn't have stopped them. There's 200,000 of the motherfuckers right there.
Could have gone Rodney King on that shit. Yep. Yeah.
And that was where Rodney Martin Luther King. That was where he gave the famous "I Have a Dream" speech, and he talked about white and black chimichangas. That was the whole. That was the scene at that big march. And part of the march ends up, I mean, not that long after what happened at the march, how peaceful it was, how positive it was, all this stuff. In 1964 is when they ended up. The federal government was finally forced to end segregation in public schools. They started to outlaw discrimination in publicly owned facilities, and it's mostly because of these efforts, this sort of positive approach.
Well, and it was their they could gather in peace and not have fucking riots.
The fucking emperor thumb, though, he could have just like held his thumb up to that crowd,
yeah,
and then just fucking thumb down.
He could have had a riot, pointed,
yeah.
He could have had the riot to end all army. Yeah, he had a fucking army.
Did you see that? The Kennedys had his phone tapped. And they thought maybe once again communist shit. They were taping all his phone calls.
Oh, for I'm years. Sure. I'm sure the feds had his shit tapped. I'm sure everybody had his shit.
They said
tapped.
They tapped his hotel rooms, and there were some allegations of like this, and that. And they were it was like communism, this. And he said, well, they don't have any of that, but there's some allegations of me having mistresses, and they might have something there. Like, he was worried he's going to get caught for that. But, yeah. Because they like
take. He's like, I'm not communist, but I'm fucking bitch.
But look at this mustache.
Yeah. I mean, can't stop this chimichanga.
But it turns out, like, all his, of all the tapes, it wasn't things that were, like, you know, super illegal or anything. It was him doing impressions of, like, JFK and shit. Like, after JFK.
I have a dream that one day.
He's like, not anymore.
Little black boys and little black girls will stand in the street together in the rain
with white chimichanga.
No, need the black L. You can go on the chimichanga.
He was going to try to steal Martin Luther King's speech.
He was.
Fucked him up. Yep.
That's why he fucking killed him.
So in 64, he wins the Nobel Peace Prize because of his efforts and what he did.
And Yucateco wasn't invented until 1968, for the record. So he was a little bit ahead.
Yeah. So,
well, there were trial samples.
Yeah. There was
research and development. Yeah.
There were samples. So, and then in the next several years from like, you know, the next chunk of time, he's still expanding his civil rights movement. He's going into larger cities. He's leaving the South. He's going to Chicago, Los Angeles, New York. He's trying to spread the message, aside from just there. And he starts to also, his message starts to shift a little bit in a way that I personally dig, because he starts to, it's not just a speech
about digging,
he's not
again.
Just black and white people anymore.
Right.
He starts to really talk about inequity at the core wrong it is in every society.
He gets global, yeah.
He starts criticizing the Vietnam War because he's rightly so claims it's a war that America is forcing poor people to fight.
Right. Like if you're middle class. I think that was strategic though, because that's how you get the middle class people on board with you.
Maybe so.
The middle America that he was trying to reach. I think that was his opportunity ahead and take that to those people and have them fight for something.
Because regardless of what color you were, if you were poor, you were
gone.
You were up for the draft and going to Vietnam. Right. If you were middle class and could go to college, or if you were wealthy, you could, you know, your parents could buy some sort of a deferment or send you to Canada. Yeah. Like, but the poor people had no choice. They couldn't get into a college. They had to go to Vietnam. But it also, like, he started to shift from
Safe to be poor people times.
No, it wasn't.
It shifted. The shift was swift.
Yeah.
Pulled poor people's sandwiches were fucking being served. Like, I mean,
that's what they did with, that's too much. Like, I'm not going there. Never mind.
And it's where he started to butt heads more with groups like the Nation of Islam and with groups like the Black Panthers, because they were still advocating a more radical change, and that the change that he did was amazing, but there's still a lot of changes left that no one's fighting for anymore. And they were trying to push him in order to sort of get bigger again. And then he was on the verge of having in 1968 a second great march to DC to push for new causes and to do some other stuff, but that was not a good year.
No,
for Martin Luther King.
Why? What happened? You got caught cheating?
Heartburn.
A lot of heartburn. Ah, yeah,
that sucks.
In 68, he was actually, from a lot of the readings, a lot of the like biographies and people that knew him, they said that at this point he was like all the constant confrontations, the going to jail, the constant politics, like all of it were starting to wear on him, which you can imagine. I mean, he's been doing this shit for a decade, getting arrested and beaten and
right.
And I mean, but he was starting to kind of wear down, but he still wanted to have his big march. he was planning a labor strike in various cities and all as another part of his big push. And on April 3rd, he gave a speech where he said, "I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land." And people kind of point to this line as being creepy because he says, he "I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you."
Yeah. Right.
And then the next day was the day he was shot.
Yeah.
So he was shot.
It's
on
like the Drake album. If you're reading this, it's
that's
too late.
Right.
You think his conviction was so strong that he would like voluntarily be a martyr? Like that could be a weird conspiracy. Like that he planned, like, go ahead. I know someone's going to try to do it anyway. Let it happen. I'm tired. I've done what I can do. He's worn out. He doesn't want to do it anymore. And he knows that the martyr status would create push on the movement.
He spent 20 years waiting to die. Right. I mean, everything he did was him waiting to get shot.
Right.
I mean,
but maybe
that
he was finally done. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Like, they let
it
happen. Like,
I think he was killed like from within. I think the other blacks did it because they wanted the radical movement. Yeah.
Well, there's so many freaking conspiracies. So the official story of what happened is on April 4th, he was on the balcony outside of his room at the Lorraine Motel. And he was shot by a sniper's bullet.
It was the same balcony that Michael Jackson shook his baby over. Yeah. Most people don't know that.
I didn't know that.
Because I made it up.
Yeah, it was not true.
But James Earl Ray, who was said to be a malcontent and a drifter.
And a kissing cousin, I'm sure.
But they say that he ended up killing him. There was a manhunt for a couple of months to track him down. As soon as he was killed, there were riots and demonstrations in more than 100 cities. In 1969, when he was finally arrested, he pled guilty to it. He was sentenced to 99 years in prison. He died in prison on April 23rd, 1998. And that's sort of the official story. But of course, there's a ton of conspiracies about the assassination and what went down. There was a guy named William Pepper, who was James Earl Ray's final lawyer. And he said that James Earl Ray was set up by the U.S. government and that the government hired the mafia to kill. They hired a mafia hitman to kill Martin
Makes
Luther
sense.
King, and that James Earl Ray was just a patsy. Yeah. He also
mafia
argued
was killing motherfuckers at
they
that
were
time.
Killing
JFK,
motherfuckers.
Fucking.
They. He also argued in, and he put this in a. It was in a book called "Orders to Kill: The Truth Behind the Murder of Martin Luther King," and it was written by William Pepper. But part of his story was also that there was a team of Green Beret snipers that were also involved, and if the person who was taking the shot didn't get him, they were supposed to hit him with a second
bullet.
So
there's multiple guns on him.
So multiple guns on him, and he thinks the CIA was involved. He blames the Memphis police, the FBI, Army intelligence. Like, he thinks it was like – he fucking blames just about everybody apparently in this book. but he does say that it was a mafia hitman, and that's one of the conspiracies from William Pepper. Did you guys see the thing about Lloyd Jowers? Because I didn't know anything about this, and this fucking tripped me out. So there's a guy named Lloyd Jowers who was a Memphis bar owner, and he ran a place called Jim's Grill that was across the street from the Lorraine Motel. And in 1993, he said that he was given $100,000 to hire a hitman to kill Martin Luther King. And that the killer he hired wasn't James Earl Ray, that he hired somebody totally different to kill Martin Luther King. So the Memphis district attorney spent 7 months trying to look into whether or not there was any truth to this and declared that there wasn't, which should make you kind of go, okay, that's the end of that. But the thing, and I was trying to find more research on this because this is fucking weird to me and there wasn't much written about it. Apparently, Coretta Scott King, Martin Luther King's widow, in 1999 had a court case called Coretta Scott King versus Lloyd Jowers, who's the guy who made those claims.
Right.
And after 4 weeks of testimony, 70 witnesses, and a civil trial.
He's 73 at this time.
He's old at this time. 12 jurors reached a unanimous verdict on December 8th of 1999 after only an hour of deliberations that Martin Luther King was assassinated as the result of a conspiracy.
Oh, wow.
Like in court. So the evidence implicated the FBI, the CIA, the U.S. Army, the Memphis Police Department, and so organized crime. So all the shit that lawyer said, this court case said, and apparently...
How is that not more publicly widespread?
I have no fucking idea. It's so bizarre. And there's like a big press statement that Coretta Scott King gave. She said there's abundant evidence of a major high-level conspiracy in the assassination of my husband, Martin Luther King Jr. The civil court's unanimous verdict has validated our belief. She applauds the verdict, etc. The jury was clearly convinced by the extensive evidence that was presented during the trial that in addition to Mr. Jowers, the conspiracy of the mafia, local, state, and federal government agencies were deeply involved in the assassination of my husband. The jury also affirmed overwhelming evidence that identified someone else, not James Earl Ray, as the shooter, and that Mr. Ray was set up to take the blame. I want to make it clear that my family has no interest in retribution. Instead, our sole concern has been that the full truth of the assassination has been revealed and adjudicated in a court of law. My husband once said the moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice.
I feel like that might get more exposure right now because you just said it than it did for real.
I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, because nobody's heard of that. As soon as you search that guy's name, though, this whole thing comes up.
It starts to kind of crazy thing. It starts to pop up. And the jury was apparently going to award the family $10 million in damages.
And they said no.
And they said, give us $100 because this isn't about the money.
Why even $100?
I don't know.
Just to say fuck
you? Just to say fuck you. Give me $100. And they refused what the jury was going to give them. But I mean, the jury in 1 hour, based on the evidence that was presented to them, came back and were like, yep, they all did it.
They just had a picture of the guy.
And the jury, it even said the jury was mixed. It was half white, half black. I don't understand. I've never heard of this in my life. It was a high yellow jury. Yeah. It was. So I don't know, man. That was a fucking trip.
Well, that's going to get covered up if state and local CIA, fucking mafia, if everybody's involved, that shit's getting covered up.
Right. And I did read some people were saying that the evidence was weird and that they were blaming. One thing said that the blame was placed on with so wide a brush that no one could really show up to counter it.
Right. And everyone's probably dead.
So, but still the fact that that court case happened and no one even
that
fucking
only
heard
solidifies
about it
though. That more solidifies the JFK assassination. It really does. The whole Patsy, the pay, the involvement of CIA mafia.
This went down
it's
the
like
exact
the
same
story.
Way.
Yeah.
If one guy missed him, the umbrella man missed him, then fucking you have the grassy knoll and the fucking guy in the window and fucking over here.
They admit to that one, but they're like, no, we didn't do the other one though. Right. That one we did have the mafia and CIA doing.
Oh,
the
darkie,
second gunman.
Yeah, we killed the darkie. Yeah. But I'm not going to say anything about the white guy.
Yeah.
And then another thing that came up again in the 90s, there was a lot of MLK stuff popping up in the 90s. So Martin Luther King Day becomes a federal holiday in 1996. But right away, several states refused.
That wasn't a federal holiday before then?
No.
That's crazy.
A lot of states were already recognizing it,
right.
But the feds recognized it in 96 and declared, this date, et cetera, that's the thing. And a lot of states were pissed off because the federal government decided to use it to replace Columbus Day.
Right.
So a lot of people were pissed off because they were losing Columbus Day Martin Luther.
They never heard our episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ.
And there was a big controversy because Arizona like flat out rejected it. They had a vote of the population of whether or not to do it. And they like said, no, fuck you. We're not doing Martin Luther King Day, regardless of the fact that it's declared as a, so
a lot of people, 98?
This was in 96. This was
Jesus
in 96.
Christ.
So, I take it back. This was earlier. This was back in 87. The state refused to do it. So I think states one by one were going through and doing it, but there were like fucking boycotts and all this shit. And apparently they think the only reason that MLK became a thing, an official day in Arizona, is because the NFL refused to let the Super Bowl be in Phoenix if they didn't, because these boycotts were so strong.
Crazy.
They were like, I can't believe you're going to send the fucking Super Bowl to Phoenix when these racists won't even celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday. And apparently that made a bunch of people change their vote and say, well, fuck that. If we're going to lose the Super Bowl.
So, we still want to watch black athletes.
Right. I mean, give me a break. They're the best. See how fast they can run.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the,
so, see how many legs those guys have?
A lot of weirdness with Martin Luther King Day. And I forget which state it was. I think South Carolina was officially the last state to make the transition. Sense. But with Arizona, there were huge boycotts and there were votes and counter votes. And it was a much bigger thing in Arizona. But yeah, so even Martin Luther King Day.
I wonder with all the crazy holidays and this day and that day, how many duplicate days there are. Like, you know, Donut Day lines up with fucking Mother's Day or some shit. There's no Panties Day. There's all kinds of shit.
Well, if you're going to make up some fucking stupid day, you might as well make it happen on a day off.
Yeah.
You know, if we're making up Sofa King Day, we might as well say it's on fucking the same day everybody always gets off, because then at least they have the day off.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or see how many people we get to take the day off when they're not supposed to.
I just have to report that when I said Sofa King Day, there was a very crazy light in Brent's eyes.
Yeah. Like there was that. On that, you know, you said like, how come that court, you know, the court decision and any of that courtroom, nothing was shown about it. Right. Nobody heard about it. Uh-huh. One of the reporters, cause it was on Memphis TV, I guess it was Memphis TV reporter, Wendell Stacy. It says, there's a quote saying, everything in the U.S. is the trial of the century. O.J. Simpson's trial was the trial of the century. Clinton's trial was the trial of the century. But this is the trial of the century. Who's here?
Right.
Fucking nobody.
It's so fucking bizarre. Like when I was researching the show and I ran into that, I was like,
yeah.
And I was reading it and I was like, is this some weird like fucking conspiracy website that I'm on? And then I was like, nope, it most certainly isn't. I'm reading it on the website that the fucking Martin Luther King Library and Foundation run. And I'm just like, I'm reading it.
They're
all
full
these,
into it.
Yeah. I'm just like all these legitimate things. And there's Coretta Scott King. Here's your statement. Here's all the court transcripts. Here's the legal ID court number. I was just like, how is this? I've never fucking heard of this ever.
Nobody has until
crazy,
now.
Crazy, dude. Yeah. That shit's crazy. So, yeah. So that's MLK. Again, I just I look at what he went through. I look at the fact that he was constantly under the gun and he never fucking backed down. And I try to imagine how difficult it would be to get, I mean, if you get 30 people pissed off about something that's going on, how can you talk the one hothead into fucking sitting on his hands?
Yeah.
Much less an entire fucking
200,000.
Nation, you know, and if you just YouTube his speeches, man, he was one of the greatest orators ever. His speeches are so fucking moving and something about the, I mean, he just fucking draws you into what he's saying. But I mean, just an amazing, amazing person. Our history would be radically different if it were not for Martin Luther King.
We wouldn't have this podcast because this would be a segregated podcast.
Right. That's right.
I'd be in the
back of the bus on a shitty microphone.
You get to sit on the little toadstool. You get to do the sound.
Or not. There's no telling how shit goes. The butterfly.
I just think there would have been a lot of riots, a lot of violence, a lot of bad shit if it wasn't for Martin.
I mean, look what happens when the Lakers lose.
Exactly.
Jesus.
Exactly.
Or the Raiders.
I mean, I think ultimately the civil rights stuff would have passed, but I think it was going to be a lot more of a bloody transition if it wasn't for MLK.
Oh, fuck so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they, like, that's where the conspiracy comes in. Like, they kill him at this specific point and then they let things happen that need to happen and then everything stays calm though,
right?
You know, like if otherwise things are going to get really shitty if nothing happens,
right? So at some point the Illuminati was like, that's about enough from him.
Yeah,
like that's good. That's cool.
Yeah, one too many speeches.
It's Braveyard. He's just like, hold. Now.
Just like, nope.
Yeah,
that's enough.
This guy is affecting my pulled poor people sandwich.
Yeah. You want to shout out a couple more Patreons?
We on? Oh yeah, I was the last person to go.
So I'm the first person to go.
Yes.
All right. Cecilia Acevedo. 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 Acevedo.
He sold it.
Yeah. That's a hard.
I'm convinced.
Name.
Gringo.
I'm actually friends with that person, but I never actually had to phonically say their name. I've actually physically spoken to this person. That's how I know that they're an avocado. Jesus. Cheese and rice. I'm going to say that instead of Jesus Christ.
Jesus mother Christ.
Yeah, I'm going to stop cussing too. I heard we had some young listeners and I'm not going to cuss anymore.
Oh god. Good luck with that. That's bullshit.
Yeah. On the
I'll just cuss twice as much.
Oh God.
All right, fine.
You and your fucking anal jokes. Mr. Anal joke at the beginning of the
episode.
That didn't
last very long. Yeah. God damn it. I forgot to put a mark on my hand. All right, Cece. She's an avocado farmer from South America who once bounced a check for 35 cents. That's a claim to fame.
That is.
That even wrote a check for 35 cents.
I wonder if her Patreon's going to bounce.
We just don't have enough.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I know. We'll see if she's on the list next month since she wrote that check.
We'll take that. We'll have Patreon take backs. We're going to shame you. You pull your money? Shame you, motherfuckers.
They're all one more shout out. Moving out. And then also Steve Nesbitt. Fucking the names Nesbitt. I got on this one.
Nesbitt.
Steve Nesbitt. Yeah. Town drunk. Yeah. That's all. Yeah, that's all.
Somebody's got to do it. Yeah. It's hard work.
I'm working
fucking
on it.
Hard work.
Yeah. We have our town drunk.
A couple on mine real quick. I had Chelsea Abshire.
Fucking names, man.
Who's a wedding planner, which that's
I
a
dated
thing.
An Abshire.
You know, your people are wedding planners, but apparently she's a wedding planner for Moonies. Oh. So she has she does wedding planners at like Staples Center for like 100,000 people who don't want to get married. Takes a lot of
planning.
No,
they want to get married.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Okay. So she's a Mooney wedding planner. And then Megan McGee, couldn't find a whole lot, but we got into her Tinder profile and it said,
we got you.
It said, quote, small hands, you're going to love the view, which was very strange.
Yeah. So. I wish I could have read that one.
All right. Moving on to Alexa Green.
She put his radio voice on for that one.
He did.
Alexa Green.
Thanks,
tends
Brent.
Tends to her garden of dead cats, mainly because she has no friends. Next up is her sister, Ariel Green. Hates working at Starbucks and wants to kill her boss because they always make her take out the trash. What
a dating
bitch.
Show. That's a fucking bachelor number one.
Yeah. You did have your dating show voice on.
That's hilarious.
Well, right. As always, thank you. And if you want to know where to sign up, go to patreon.com/sofakingpodcast and give us a dollar or give us $100. It doesn't matter to us. We appreciate it. Brent scolded me for saying that people are only giving us a dollar and I'm sorry.
Well, it's kind of fucked up. Someone gives you $20 and then you call them a cheap ass and say they only gave us a dollar. Probably like, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, they could have given us 40 by Chris. Just saying.
Well, if someone gives me a dollar, I'm fucking happy.
Yeah.
If I was just walking down the street and someone walked up and gave me a dollar, like aside from me immediately wondering if it was covered in anthrax or some shit, I'd be like, fuck, that guy just gave me a dollar.
This guy stink palmed this dollar. I will say this because I have experienced this a couple of times. People message me saying, I want to do your Patreon, but I don't want to give me a cheap ass and give you a dollar. That's fucking fine. Yeah. If you give us a dollar,
it's
appreciated.
All
honored as fuck. That shit adds up. You don't have to give us anything. Right. You give us a dollar. We are not judging.
There's $1.50. There's $3. There's $25. Doesn't matter. Like whatever you can give, if you just want to help out. And actually we were even talking about that. Just people giving us just the dollar. They're not trying to freeload and get free shit. They just want to help us.
Well, someone gave us $2.50 and I was like, that's weird. Why didn't they do $5? Cause they get, early episodes. And I was like, cause they don't fucking give a fuck about getting something. They're actually just giving
they're
us
just a nice, they're just a nice person.
That's a tip.
Not like the rest of those
motherfuckers.
That's just
the tip.
They're just using
us. Just the tip.
Just the tip.
So anyway, thank you.
Thank you. And congratulations again to our hot sack winner of the week.
Yep.
What was her name?
You want a sauce bag?
Lindsay something?
No.
I don't remember.
Let me look. I forgot her already. She's very forgettable. Let me jump on here. It is Leanne Nicole.
That was an L. I was close.
Yep.
All right. So,
For a person that has a goldfish memory, you did good.
I did. I did good for the whole podcast to remember anything. Yeah. That's what notes and post-its are for. Yep. And coming soon, yarn and pins.
Mm.
Yeah. Tax and yarn. No, I'm not doing that. Look out each week for that post. We do the Yucateco post. We weren't able to do some of the other stuff this week because it was busy as shit.
Yep.
We were forcing child labor to stain shelves and put up whiskey bottles like you do.
Yep.
As Dave would say.
Yeah.
We would like to thank our sponsors. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can log on to their website or you can get it at Walmart, Target, the grocery store. What's the Mex Grocer?
It is mexgrocer.co.uk. If you are in anywhere, Europe, fucking
If you're not in the States.
Yeah, if you're not in the States,
and you're having trouble.
That's the one. That's the one that's going to be able to get it to you the best, probably the cheapest shipping.
Yeah. So go there, and thank you to El Yucateco. You can use code SOFAKING on their website to get a discount. We need to thank printdirtcheap.com. We are going to start doing some posts where you can win sticker packs through that, so keep your eye out, like, comment, and share on that. Thank you to DeLeon Graphics. He does all the shirts for us. He does have a Facebook. If you go like there, we are also giving away shirts for some of that stuff, so keep your eye out for that.
Yes.
Thank you to Digital Creations. We are working on maybe a funny, like, offshoot mug that you can't buy for a prize there, so that's in progress. Keep your eye out for that. And thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. You can log out to armhunter.com to get swag and instructional DVDs. Thought about that. We might be able to talk him into doing some kind of download or something for some of those jiu-jitsu fans. Oh, yeah. You just raise your hand. Do you have a question, sir? No. In the front seat.
No.
Look, you raised good. Your hand.
Get over there.
I'm good. That was weird.
You already answered my question.
Hey, back of the bus.
Fuck.
It's a conspiracy.
Alternate reality.
All right. Yeah. And I think that is all I have. Follow us on social media, on all of social medias. If you don't like our Facebook page, just go. Well, we fucking hate Facebook. It's so hard to get popular on there. I don't know what's up. Once again, kings of Instagram, peasants of Facebook. Go like us on Facebook and Twitter and all the ones you don't think about, probably.
At SofaKing Brad here.
At SofaKing Brent.
At SofaKing David.
Yep. Yeah.
And so. Buck at SofaKing Dave, whoever that means.
Oh, you know what? I got Twitter. Twitter, they got me, SofaKing Brad, on there. That God motherfucker.
I got mine.
Got me.
Yeah, Brent's not that common.
Yeah, though,
that's
Brent, why. Brent's a shitty name.
Speaking of shitty names, go follow me on Twitter at SofaKing Brent.
Get him.
All right.
That's it.
Yep.
Anything else? All right. Nope. Remember, don't be retarded.
I know that you've heard all kinds of stories about me. That I am a racist. That I am a supporter of the KKK. That I am against civil rights. All because I oppose the Martin Luther King holiday. But I am opposed to the holiday, and I will stay opposed to it as long as I am in office. And as long as there are city officials that agree with me, there will be no holiday in this state.
This is Sister Soldier. Public Enemy, security of the first world, and all aligned forces are traveling west to head off a white supremacist scheme to destroy the national celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. Public Enemy believes that the powers that be in the states of New Hampshire and Arizona have found psychological discomfort in paying tribute to a black tried to teach white people the meaning of civilization. Good luck, brothers. Show them what you got.
Nosebleed be between the lines. And then you see the line.
lie. Politically planned and understand that's all she wrote. When we see the real side that hide behind a vote, and they can't understand why he the man who's singing by the king. They don't like it when I decide to make it. Wait, I'm waiting for the day for the man who demands respect, cause he was great. Come on, I'm on a one mission to get a politician to honor, or he's a goner by the time I get to Arizona. Well, I got 25 days to do it. If a wall in the way, just watch me go through it. Cause I gotta do what I gotta do. PE number one gets the job done. When it's done and over, well, it's because I drove her through all the static. I stick for automatic. That's the way it is. She got to get his talking MLK. Gonna find a way. Make the state pay. I'm looking for the day. Hard as it seems, this ain't no damn dream. Gotta know what I mean. This team against team, catch the light beam. So I pray every day I do and praise God to make. Looking for culture I got, but not here for Jamaica. Pushing and shaking the structure, bringing down a Babylon. Here in the circle to make it hard for the proud. The hard boulevard, I need it now, more than ever now. Who's sitting on my freedom oppressor? People beater, a piece of the pick. We picked a piece of the land we're serving now. Reparation, a piece of the nation, damn, we got the nerve. Another nigga, they say and classify, we want too much. My people plus the nine is mine, don't think I even double dust. Here's a brother, my attitude is hit, I'm hanging high. I'm blowing up the 90s, started ticking in 86. When the blind get a mind, better start fearing while we singing now. There will be the day we know who's down and who will go. Go, 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 go. By the time I get to Arizona. By the time I get to Arizona.